Worship through the ministry of the word. Scripture reading is going to be found in Genesis 12, 10 through 20. If you want to follow along.
This is really strange. I don't want to stand behind us. Okay, here we go. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray unto thee, Thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he had asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go away. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had.
All right, Mike.
Good morning. Not too bad for 10:30. Some of you know me. There you go. My name is Mike Fromm. I work with Midwater Christian Youth and Rhinelander, and we've worked throughout the region. For the past, so I've been this summer for 33 years. Some of you have known me that long. And also, ministry that has been birthed and developed out of ACY is called WILD, Wise Intentional Leadership Development. And we are literally impacting Africa and parts of Asia out of Rhinelander. And what I'm going to do is, Pastor Alex asked me to share a little bit about both ministries, and I'll share a message. I do have more information, so you don't have to try and remember all this. And I will only hit not even the tip of the iceberg, especially the wild. But God is doing amazing things throughout the world. And he's allowing a little organization like WILD to be a part of it. And some of you know who I am. You know my personality is not WILD. Very, very like that. That's an ironic thing. So, but I want to share a little bit about ACY. I just put this together and just give you a highlight, and then we'll go into some of the things about WILD. And assuming all things work electronically,
Mike, you want to turn the lights off? Would that help at all?
Yeah, that might help a little bit.
We could also pull the shade if you want.
That's
up to you.
I don't know.
No time.
I think we're okay.
All right. That's all right, Mike. I'll get them.
Some of you know of them. Also, Bob Les is touring with them. Bob is one of the best youth speakers in the country. I say that honestly, and having heard a lot of youth speakers over the years, the gospel is going to be shared loud and clear. We are praying for a lot of fish in the pond, if you want to call it that, in the ocean. And the Lord dropped that in our lap. I was going to a funeral at the time, get a phone call from Bob, say, hey, would you like to have a youth come? Sure. And if you know anything about them, this is top of the, all the things they've done over 33 years, this ranks in the top five as far as impact potential and, for one time activity. Yeah. And so it's like, wow, Lord, this is cool. You also, regarding these points, if any of you are interested, the movie God Not Dead is playing. It's excellent for young people. Why? Because it causes them to think about their faith. And this isn't the message, but this is it's going to lead into why. Remember the WWJD bracelets? What would Jesus do? It was wrong. It should have been WWJT. What would Jesus think? Because if I get you to think a certain way, you will follow, right? Yes. What are the Muslims doing? What have the communists done? What did Nebuchadnezzar do? Did they go after the behavior? No, they go after the mind. To renew the mind, right? Romans 12, 2. To be a living sacrifice, you need to renew your mind. And how do you renew your mind? By allowing the Word, the Holy Spirit's work. In youth ministry, and I've been in youth ministry all these years, we've been great at evangelism. We've been extremely poor at discipleship. And that is one of the big reasons, I believe, why so many of your kids, when they leave high school, go like this spiritually. Because we have not helped them to think through their faith. And that's one reason why WILD developed. WILD, Wise Intentional Leadership Development, developed out of working with young people and adults, volunteers. And because we're a Lord-based calling ministry, I had to think of ways to help develop our people. And the Lord just started laying things on my heart about, do your own training. You know, read, study, go for it. And out of that has come an international ministry. Because at first I thought it would be through Bible quizzing, and you saw Bible quizzing. And some of you kids might be interested in that. I can give you more information about it. It's a great way to understand. If you stick with it for 7 years, basically, you go through the whole New Testament. And it's a lot of exciting competition. And things like that. And I don't have time to explain it all, but I would be willing to if you'd ever like that. Hear more. But WILD was developed with the idea of helping the church in other parts of the world develop spiritual leadership. Well, let me ask you, how many of you have ever been mentored by someone? Okay, a few of you. Did you ask or did they come to you? Most times, you got to ask. Is that biblical? Okay. God will use it. Did Saul follow up to Barnabas and say, hey, Barnabas, you know, I need to be mentored. Or did Silas and Timothy and all the rest go up and call him up? Hey, God, hey, Paul, you know, I'm a new Christian. Can you help me? No. Who went after? Who went after who? The older Christians. How many older Christians do we have in this group? Everybody raise your hand up. Older doesn't mean by age, okay? Older means by maturity. Well, hopefully. It doesn't all work that way. We who are older spiritually need to intentionally, read my lips, intentionally help develop the younger to understand their faith. In travel, and I've never had a gun to my head. I've been in some interesting situations in parts of the world, in Islamic aspect areas of the world. I've come to realize that there's only probably one thing, maybe two, I'm willing to die for. Jesus is God. Because that differentiates us from Muslims, from communism, from Buddhism, humanism, any Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what is the difference. My preference in music, my preference in Bible translation, my preference in how I do ministry, my preference in a lot of things, I don't think I'd be willing to die for. Because when you work in other parts of the world, when you have to simplify, in a sense, clarify what is biblical Christianity and what is Western or American Christianity, you really begin to realize. Because they don't care. They don't need in other parts of the world what we teach here. As far as Western. They need biblical Christianity. They're in a difference. And we are so much, because they all, I hear all the time, Mike, we want to be like you guys. I go, no, you don't. You don't want to be like a Western church. Trust me, you don't want to be like us. We mess it up. Anything to learn from us. They need to know what the Bible says. Biblical Christianity. Because what I'm finding among young people and older adults is we are very biblically illiterate. Because I'll say, tell me something about Joshua.
Let's see, I think in the Old Testament,
nothing to do with Moses.
And these are kids that are from evangelical churches.
The foundation is no longer there. And I always wonder, why, God, did you have me involved at HCY all these years? To stick with you. Because the premise of WILD, if we teach spiritual leadership development, what it means to be a spiritual leader, how to develop, and I have simple materials. If any of you would like to learn how to be a spiritual leader or disciple somebody, it's simple material. Because the Africans keep telling you that this material is simple and understandable. And they go, I hope you don't insult you. I go, no. It's put together that way. And it's free. You can download it from our website. And then we also teach on worldview, helping young people. In fact, tomorrow in Zambia, there's going to be a youth conference where they're going to work on teaching biblical Christianity versus other world religions and also what's called African perspectives, which is would be similar to the Native American culture, thought process, religious process, very similar into the various cultures. The Africans are doing that. Our goal in offering this material, and our partner group, our team, young people, because in Africa, over half the population of Africa is 25 and younger. I found out recently by a missionary in the Philippines that over half the population of the Philippines is 15 and younger. Most of the world's population is very young. Whoever captures the minds of those young people, like in Africa, in the next 20 years, is going to control those parts of the world. Now, are we going to sit back as believers going, oh, we know, we read the end of the book, we win. I know we win. But we don't know the time of day. So we sit back and go, okay, God, we'll let you do it. And I believe in sovereignty of God, but He also empowers us to do ministry. We're trying to stick around. Not because we're good looking. We are to do the ministry of the gospel, to share. And if the church can go after the young people of Africa, of Asia, and help develop their thinking processes, they can go into various parts of society, politics, law, business, education, medical, you name it, and be the ambassadors for Jesus in the settings they're supposed to be. Because are we not all ambassadors for Jesus, right?
Amen.
Right? We all come. Oh, let's all say yes. Good therapy. 1, 2, 3.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. And that's what WILD does. And we have a lot of doors opening up. In fact, next month, I'm going to Uganda, probably Rwanda, and then over to Liberia. And in Liberia, we're bringing representatives from four different countries around there. We're not bringing them to Liberia because it's just cheaper. Plus, it's more cost efficient. To train and develop them. And once I train and develop someone, or we do, we say, you take the material, go train someone else. And it's changing churches. I just stand back and go, whoa, God. Keep me out of the way. And so that's what's happened. And that's an overview of why I could spend hours, if you'd like me to come back sometime, and just share more and more. I do have information if you'd like to get more interested. By praying and also receiving updates of what's going on in the world. And most of what's going on in WILD overseas, the vast majority is being done by nationals. Because I'll finish with the story and then go into what I'm going to share. In Liberia a few years ago, I got a phone call. Well, prior to that, I got a phone call, this time about 5 years ago, from Pastor Peter from Liberia. I go, okay, scam. Yeah, okay. Hello, Brother Mike, this is Pastor Peter. Hello. We want you to come to Africa. I got your information from somebody, and I found out how he got that information about WILD. He said, well, I want you to come and teach spiritual leadership. And I said, well, I'll check you out. I have some friends in Minneapolis area who are Liberians. I'll ask them, who's your friend? Or one of them, who's your friend? I said, Jordan.
Stevie.
You know George Stevie? He's a childhood friend of mine. Sure enough, they grew up in the same village. So it was legit. I go there, and Pastor Peter's showing the vision God laid on his heart of plot of land and what they're developing. And I said, Peter, what do you need the Western Church to do? And I was hoping he'd give me this answer. He said, Mike, we need the Western Church to partner with us. Meaning, the illustration would be, they have a car. They're driving a car. They know where they're going. They need us as Western Christians to get in the passenger side and say, okay, what do you need? How much gas do you need to keep going? What, you know, what are some things? I don't need to invent the car because he already has the vision. Because I'm a Western Christian doesn't mean I walk around with her. I'm not God. They have as much of the Holy Spirit available to them as we do. And as they listen, God is doing amazing things. What they need is the Western Church. And again, I'm a missionary. And the role of missionaries, I believe, strategically is changing. We need to empower, or equip and empower the nationals to do the ministry. It's cheaper. You know, for a lot of times for a missionary, $50,000 a year, I can put five nationals working daily in their countries for that amount. And they're as effective, if not more effective, because they know the language, they know the culture. Because when I teach over there, I can teach them the word, but I don't know how to apply it for them. Or, you know, illustrations. Because I don't live in that culture. It'd be like some of the Africans coming here and sharing at a youth group. Oh, that's really cool. But they don't know how to apply to the American culture or the teenagers in American culture. Whereas I have a little better idea. Should I be doing that? Yeah. Should they be doing the ministry? Yeah. Do you understand? Our role, more and more, come alongside as resources and as to help them develop. So that's an overview. And I get a little excited a little while. Because God's goodness. It blows me away. But you and the church have been supporting E2I, and since Christian Kim has left, the funds have been being used for a while. Those funds, thank you. And I would love to come anywhere, in any situation, share more about why. Because God is doing something. And they're allowing us to be a part of it.
When did you actually start getting out of the States to go to the other countries?
In 91, I went to Zimbabwe. In 94, Uganda. And those times I worked with young people, and I saw the possibilities, and I saw the need of reaching the young people. And then in 2001, I went to Tanzania and tried some of this stuff, and it worked. And in 2004, a missionary that maybe some of you know, Dan and Carolyn Belton, Carolyn's from Harsha area, invited me to Africa, and we tried it. It worked. And since then, it has expanded. We're in 10 to 12 countries. I just got a contact this week from an Ethiopian pastor in Canada. Would like me to work with him in Canada, but also back home in Ethiopia, because he has networks there. It's like, God has been opening doors. It's like, hey, God, you got to give me work. More people, more funds, you know? Because it's just exploding. So, yeah. But anyway, that's not my message unless you want me to make that message. Okay. I would like to just talk about Abraham a little bit. Because a lot of times we know that Abraham is the father of our faith, right? Great man of faith, great person of faith. But I go, man, how am I ever going to be like him? I want to show you some snapshots. And again, this is some of the material that we teach in Lyle. We use biblical examples on leadership. And somebody who had plenty of time on his hands said that probably about 80% of all the leaders in the Bible didn't pan out very well. Okay, I just take his word. But anyway, listen. Abraham does pan out. Just kind of get into the story. Alright. If you would open up, if you have to Acts, Genesis chapter 12. In the beginning of that chapter, remember? Terah leaves. Abraham's father says, I'm going to the new land. They go away and stop. And in Haran. And in verse 1 of chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. And what did Abraham do?
He left.
Would you say that was a fair amount of faith on his part? How many of you, Lloyd, all of a sudden one night hear a voice from God and pick up your roots from this part of the world and go to Africa, Asia? How many of us would do that?
We say, hey, wait a minute, God.
I think I got indigestion. Maybe I'm hearing you wrong. You know?
Well, he trusted God, didn't he?
Great faith. I mean, I will bless those who bless with you and curse those who curse you. Of course, he really didn't understand that at the time. I mean, not until later on. It really started registering. But he left. And he was about 75 years old. I mean, he wasn't a spring chicken. He lived about 120 something. But, I mean, it's hard to move, isn't it? When you have roots in an area. It's hard to pick up and just leave. Much less, where are you going? Well, some land over there, and people are thinking, yeah, you're off your rocker, man. You know, did you fall and bump your head or what? Or did you eat something weird? Yeah, it's just, the amount of faith it took for him. Great man of faith, right? Okay. Let's move on a little bit. They get to the land. And what was read? There was a famine, so they had to go down to Egypt. Verses 10 to 20. And Abraham away says to Sarai, hey, you're a beautiful woman. I got a better chance of living if you would say we're brother or sister. Which, yeah, sort of, kind of. I mean, it was a stretch, but they were husband and wife, but don't tell Pharaoh that part. I want to live. Boy, didn't that take a lot of courage, huh? Hey, would you lie for me? A lot of faith, right? No. He died by in his faith. Your neighbor. Great man of faith. Struggling. Lie for me. I can relate to that, you know? I struggle in sin. And by God's sovereignty, as we read that passage, God protected Pharaoh, and he also protected Abram and Sarah. Especially after the information came out that they were married. How can a guy, several years earlier, a short time earlier, go, yeah, he died, I trust you, we'll go wherever you lead us. And then all of a sudden, hey, we're getting into this dangerous area. Lie about it, okay, so I can live. Boy, you think the story doesn't end there. Move on. Again, these are kind of snapshots because we don't have all day. I was told we could talk until about midnight. But I won't. I won't. Plus, I don't want you sitting in the window just falling out. So. Turn over to chapter 15. And again, if you even look at it in perspective as leadership, bad decisions by leaders affect just not only a person, it affects the people he or she influences. Same with good decisions, right? If you're in any aspect of leadership, whether leading a group of friends, to a business, to leading your home as husband and wife, whatever, the decisions we make just don't affect us. It affects many people, and obviously the larger the situation with leadership, the more it affects us, right? What President Obama says affects us. We know that, don't we? All the way down to you, the church council, the leadership, whatever you decide, doesn't affect just those in that small group. It affects the whole church and maybe community depending on what the decision is. We've got to remember that. That's why opportunity to vote and voice our opinion is such a benefit, or such a blessing. So many countries don't have that. Oh yeah, they have elections, but it's usually fixed. They look at me in Africa and Asia and go, hey, you have no idea how blessed you are to be able to have good elections. For the most part, you know. For the most reasons we have. We won't go into that. But you know that our voice comes so far. Now, Genesis chapter 15. They've come back from Egypt. They've been living in the promised land for quite a while. And just listen to chapter 15, the first couple of verses. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. We met with Abram again in the vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I will be your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? Now, it's been going on about 20, 25 years since that first promise given to him. On that quite 15, 20. And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus, a relative, not his own child. You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. That's not normal. Heirs are those in line, bloodline. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Old guy, you're still going to have a boy. Whoa. Again. Trusting God. He took him outside and said, look, do this tonight. If it's clear. Look up in the heavens and count the stars and indeed, if you can count them. And he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Tonight, go outside the square and start trying to count the number of stars. You're going to run out of numbers or get that one right. He told Abram, said, go outside, look, hey, start counting, boy. You can have more offspring than that. But by the way, right now you don't have any to begin with. Minor detail. And what's interesting, verse 6, the verse that we often quote, and it's quoted in the New Testament, or discussed in the New Testament, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Goes from trusting God, to blowing it in you, coming back up to trusting God. Even though he didn't have an heir, he didn't have a child. That's how you get heirs. And, by the way, you're going to have more descendants because all the stars you can count. And Abram believed them. Faith, right? Trust. How often have I trusted God in something pretty significant where there was no evidence of that first step? It's easy when you know there's been a few steps. You go, yeah, now I can trust God. There was nothing. It was just like God said, you really believe this, huh? And Abram said, yes, I believe you. I trust you. You're going to make it happen. I don't know how you're going to make it happen, but you're going to make it happen. Where's our faith? Do we have trust like that? Is there something God's doing on in your life, in your heart? You go, God, you're nuts. And I've told him that a few times before my own. Because this wild thing, even coming up to HCY, I said, God, you're nuts. And I argued, wrestled with him for months over a number of these decisions. Till he won. Good thing. But I'm going, God, how can an international ministry, because I sense God laying on my heart to do an international ministry, I run there. And of course, you know how big Rhinelander is, right? Louis Metropolis. I said, I don't come from a big ministry or a small ministry. I'm not involved in a large church. I go to Calvary Baptist. Not that it's not large, but small budget, very small budget. It's not like a Willow Creek, places like that. God, I'm in Rhinelander. Right? We do have an international airport. I can fly anywhere in the world for Rhinelander. I can. That's the cool thing. But I think you got the wrong guy. And God kept laying it on my heart. That was in 2001 during the sabbatical. And both my wife Ann and our pastor, I'm Jim Mickelson, some of you know Jim, said, if God's leading you, you got to do it. I said, okay, God, you know me. I only walk in the water in the winter. Go for it. And it's been amazing. And still, even coming over here, with the trip in May, because of the financial commitment, and we're doing something in Nepal in the fall. It's going to be probably $12,000 to $14,000. I do have $10,000 of them to give to them now on a youth conference that we're going to do on spiritual leadership development. Never done before in Nepal. How much faith do I have? Man, God. But what's interesting, every time we've taken a step of faith, He's provided. But it's that, man, God, I've got to get to the point that I'm trying to push it. And this is where Abraham was. Do you believe you're going to have more descendants than all those stars you can come? Yes, God, I do. Wow. Too bad the story doesn't end there. Moving on, again, snapshots. Been a little bit longer. And Sarah goes, you know what? I'm getting pretty old here. And things don't function the way they used to. I know what? Husband, I have a servant, slave. I'll let you have her get involved with you sexually. And that's how we're going to have a son or an heir. And Abram being the submissive husband, he goes, okay. So, Hagar, the servant, had a son named Ishmael. In chapter 16, it says that Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai and his wife took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress, or Sarah. Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Abram said, your servant is in your hand. Do with her whatever you think best. So Sarai mistreated Hagar, and she fled from her. How much faith did Abram have at that time? Back down, wasn't it? Like a roller coaster. If you like roller coasters, this is a good story. Abram should have at that time said, you know what? I realize the situation and circumstances are not looking very promising. But God promised that we would have an heir. Let's continue to trust Him. Being a spiritual giant, he could have been. But instead he goes, okay, honey, I'll do whatever you want. I'll keep peace in the house. Boom. Hagar has Ishmael. And remember who Ishmael became the father of? The Arabs, right? Of which we're still dealing with that situation. Way to go, Abram. Again, leadership decisions don't just affect the immediate. It's long term. So the more you are, the higher you go in a sense in leadership. That's why we need to have developing spiritual leaders to make decisions that are biblically based, thinking like Jesus would think. We're in that numerous fan, so that long term it will have the best impact for the kingdom. And so, end of that chapter. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she bore. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. Okay. Lowest thought. Because of time, we'll speed up the years a little bit. He had a couple visitors. He believed the visitors again that they would have a child between Sarah and he. Sarah laughed. But you are crazy. I can understand why she would feel that way. I mean,
80 years and about 90 years old. Yeah, whatever. Kind of like Mary going to her parents. Mom and Dad, I didn't do anything with a guy, but I'm pregnant. She's thinking about her parents. That's another message for a Christmas card. Sometimes God does the weirdest things, the wildest things, if you want to use that term. But eventually, when Abraham at this point, now the name was changed, had a son, about 100 years old. Name was?
Isaac.
Okay, Genesis chapter 2, the last snapshot. His faith has been going like this, right? Chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you of." Early next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. He was a young boy. They figured like around 12 or so. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go over there. Listen, we will worship, and then we will come back to you." Keep those we's in mind. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire in the night. As the two went along, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The firewood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on. They reached the place where God had told them. They built it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Amazing for a young boy to just lay on this wood. And he was smart. He goes, "I'm laying on the wood. He's binding me up. I'm the sacrifice. Wait a minute here." But he didn't get off. He listened to his father. Obeyed his father. "Hey, boy, would you be willing to do that with your dad?" He reached out. He bound his son to put him on top of the wood. He reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I believe he literally went like he was coming down and he didn't stop. I don't think he was going, "Well, should I do this or not?" I think he was going, he was in the act. And the angel of the Lord, which comes to with Jesus, called up and said, Abraham, here am I, you father. Only a hand and a boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Remember all those descendants they said you'd have? It was coming through your son. Remember all the promises? Coming through your son. You put me ahead of those promises. How much faith did that take? Now we know why he's the father of our faith. But I believe, this is my faith, I believe he figured he would kill Isaac and that Isaac would be brought back to life. Because he said, "We will worship and we will come back." He was always saying, "We not, well, I'll be coming back without my son." That's my personal view. I could be wrong, but I never asked my opinion on anything. That's the way I take it, because of his faith. But God stopped. Notice his faith. Because a lot of times we look at people in the Bible, we don't get the whole picture, and we go, "Wow, I can never be like that." Was Abram an ordinary man, ordinary person? Go like this, say yes. He was. He was like you or me. In fact, if Jesus walked on the earth, picked his 12 apostles, he didn't pick one of you. Right? He picked ordinary people. But we're bold, but we're ordinary people. Right? And we fit that category. Pardon? Bold, yeah. Exactly. I didn't want to have anybody interpret that. But faith, right? Where's our faith? There are times we struggle, right? We all struggle in our faith. But it's how we finish.
And when working with teenagers, I've dealt with a lot of teenagers who have made a mistake, who have sinned, done something. And I told them, it's what you do after you sin that really shows who you are. And it's not the idea you go out and sin and go find out who you are. But the real person comes out when pressure's on. Where are you at? Did you make a mistake in your walk? Did you struggle in your faith? Pick up your bootstraps and keep going, because Abraham did the same thing. He finished. And we know that. His descendants are now beyond the number of stars we can count. But he had to trust that first, for that first person, for that first step. And even though he messed up a variety of ways, God was faithful. God was sovereign. And for me, that tells me, Mike, I know you're human. You will. You are hopefully becoming more and more like Jesus each day. But I do sin yet. Okay? I hope that doesn't discredit me at all. But I do sin. And if you understood the things, some of the things I've done over the years, but by God's grace, He still allows me to be a part of what He's doing in the world. I'm nothing special, okay? God wants to use you. He wants to use me. What you need to say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I have the faith, but I'm going to trust you. Help me with that first step. Even though if I do, tiny step, help me. It may be in the area of finance, it may be in the area of doing ministry, it may be in the area of going across the street, inviting your friend, a friend or neighbor to a church activity, or sharing about Jesus, or going on, inviting somebody on a fishing trip. I don't know. What does God want to do in your life? Or is He doing in your life? Trust Him. I got to talk to you. I got to talk to myself about this. But in the end, Abraham stayed strong. And he considered the father of our faith. But he was an ordinary guy who struggled. And if you remember anything, know that you're going to struggle, but the last chapter has not been written. God is faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for how you work. That you use people like us, ordinary, for your glory and honor. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us. That in your kingdom, how you in your sovereignty use us to impact the world for you, Father, Lord. I just smile and chuckle the way you work and the way you blow us out of the water sometimes. Like walk out. Lord, help us to have faith and realize when we're struggling, that's not unusual. But that we can keep going. That we are going to stumble, wrestle, deal with issues in our life that sometimes sin, Lord. I blew it. I made a mess of this. But you know what? For your glory and honor, in your sovereignty, you make all things work for your glory. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to be a part of it.